Welcome to Local Motion. I'm Allie Lightfoot, and I'm here today with several people from elsewhere. I'm here with Carolina Porras, who is the Artist Residency Program Manager, and Deirdre Morrison, who is in AmeriCorps Vista, who is also the Project Manager of Inspired Art at Work, which we're going to hear about. But before we get started, I was wondering if you both could just sort of describe what Elsewhere is to people who have never been there.
So Elsewhere Studios is an artist residency that has existed since 2011 and is housed in the former powerhouse of Paonia, which we joke around that it's been a generator of power since the very beginning. And it's a funky green building with lopsided windows and a sweet gingerbread house in the backyard that looks like it's out of a storybook. And we house 4 to 6 artists at a time that come from all over the world between 1 to 6 months to be here and focus on their artwork and their projects.
When I first saw pictures of Elsewhere, one of the things that stood out the most was as far as the funk of the property and the house, it's covered with beautiful natural plasters, and there's a strong kind of motion towards sustainable building that's connected to it. Eclectic on the inside, and then the outside looks like beautiful examples of lime and oxides and other mineral contents on the natural plasters for the art wall and the outside of the building. And that was really appealing to me when I first saw it.
Mm-hmm. It's a work of art in itself, for sure. And on the inside, too, just all the banisters on the stairs and the woodwork throughout the entire facility is pretty unique. Yeah. So I looked at the mission statement of Elsewhere Studios and the residency program in particular, and it is described as a bridge between local and global communities, and it's there to provide a unique and fertile landscape that will nurture artists in their artistic process and give them the time and space to focus on their art. Can you talk a little bit about how that is achieved, Carolina?
Mm-hmm. Well, we can have international artists here as well as national artists. And when they come, I think that what's really awesome about having an artist residency in the small town is they're able to bring those outside perspectives from wherever they're from to hear, whether that's their artwork or their worldviews, and have a symbiotic relationship with Paonia and the community where they take a little piece of Paonia with them out into the world, and then they also leave something really special behind. Maybe some, you know, some perspectives that wouldn't normally be accessed here.
And I've noticed when I go to the meet and greets or the art openings, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm seeing Paonia, the town that I've lived in for 10 years. I'm able to see it through fresh eyes. And I was looking at some of the blog entries that some artists submitted. And there was one in there that I just want to read a little bit of, because it, to me, was like, oh, that's right. They don't do this everywhere, you know, and this is an interesting place to write about and does probably inspire art. So this is from Ellie Schmidt. Ghost town is how they describe it at night in the winter. And I went to several potluck style events during my month here, and people cook as if competing for an amazing prize.
<It's true. laughs>
The food seems totally organic, local, if not from people's own gardens, cooked with a huge variety of creative flavors in stunningly copious amounts. I could almost feel the robust food heal all deficiencies from my body instantly. So I just, I probably take that for granted, you know, so it was kind of nice to look at that. Can you talk about your experiences since you're constantly seeing these people from beginning to end of their residency?
Picking them up from the airport and even doing the drive from either Glenwood or Grand Junction, a lot of people haven't been to this part of Colorado or even have been to Colorado at all. So they're just really stunned and amazed, and it never gets old to show them around the landscape and then giving them the town tour We had a resident here named Xiaofu Wang, who is originally from China, but she had been living in Brooklyn, and she had always been in cities. This was her first time being out in a place that was as rural as this, and it was an experience for her, and she was definitely really moved.
Have there been some artists that you thought, wow, this place really did impact their art and it made an impression on them and somehow the place itself enhanced their work?
Yeah, I think that in different ways it does that to all of the artists that are here, especially the artists who are here longer than a month. When they're here for a long time, it really just sits deep in them. We had a resident named Yifan Renshu, who was also from China, and he was here for 4 months. And he texted me, he was in New York right after he left Paeonia, and he texted me later on saying, when people ask me where I'm from, I say I'm from Paeonia now. And I almost cried when I read that message because I thought that was so sweet. Like, it just really affected him, this place. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. So I wanted to talk about some of the projects that you guys have coming up this summer. And I know, Deirdre, you're a part of what is called Inspired Art at Work. Can you tell people what that project is?
Yes. So the Inspired project is about Elsewhere expanding the menu of what they do in community and offering a selection of artists that are interested to work collaboratively with community in a research and scientifically informed way to talk about things related to environmental changes that are happening here, cultural changes, some of the social issues that are present in the valley, and all geared around preserving sense of place here. So our project was one of 22 projects selected by a collaborative group based out of Denver called Arts and Society, and we are one of two rural projects. So all of these Arts and Society projects were geared around the context of what's happening in our world, what's changing in our world, and how art can help shift perspectives and get to a more multifaceted look at what's happening. We are working in conjunction, it's worth noting, with 5 not-for-profit partners, and those are Solar Energy International, Western Slope Conservation Center, the North Fork Valley Creative Coalition, Citizens for Healthy Communities, and the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance. And the idea behind that was to try to bring together innovators and environmental astute organizations and other people that have a context for what's happening in the economic picture across Colorado and across the West to try to help the artists have a deeper understanding of what's happening here after our mine closures and ways that we can move towards the future. So for that, we had 42 applicants apply as artists from all over the place. Blue-collar people from Appalachia and northern Michigan to people that had graduated from Harvard and Yale, and they were exploring a broad array of things, like from spirituality to ritual to labor practices, class standing, environmental degradation, extinction, like the list just went on and on and on. So we went through a juried process and selected 4 artists, 2 that are local and 2 that are visiting to participate with this project. One of those is Clara Pena, whose family is from Hotchkiss, and they are part of a centennial farm here in North Fork Valley. And her uncles and other people in her family, while they were ranchers and orchardists, they were also people that worked in extractive industries here. And she, over the last several years, has been really interested in talking with people and asking them, considering your background and your history with this place and your love of this place, what do you think is a path towards the future? How can we generate prosperity here? What are some ways that our neighboring towns that are more affluent, how have they created a niche for themselves? And what could that look like for us? Examples that she has brought out are renewable energies. So I think SEI is a great partner to be able to talk with her more about that and those opportunities. And then the other local artist project are experiential artists, dancers, movers. That's Tanya Blacklight and Christine Palafax. And they are interested in having motion with people, participatory dance that is ritual and kind of spiritually aligned on different sites that are vulnerable in North Fork Valley and sites that are incredibly picturesque and beautiful, and really highlighting some of the juxtaposition that's happening in our community conversation about proposed increase in industrial development and some of the impacts that that would have on our town. And then the two visiting artists, one of them is Anna McLeod, and she is a Scottish-born artist, but she lives in northwestern Ireland in a valley that is also an agricultural valley. And about 7 years ago, her valley was also having some pressure from increased oil and gas development. And the community wanted that economic input, and they also wanted to have their farms continue to flourish. And as the process continued in that first year, after about four wells were drilled, there was a spill that happened that kind of changed what was happening in the community conversation there. And for her as an artist, it really propelled her towards making art that was helping people understand water as a shared resource and being able to view it through a lens of the whole spectrum of life and working with communities in Ireland and then also in other places in the world to talk about drought and contamination and this effect of water scarcity and what that could mean as we go into the future. And then the last artist on this project is a sculptor named John Melvin, and he is from the Pacific Northwest and has lived in France for the last number of years. But he creates sculptures that are about ecological interconnectedness. And so his work here is still to be determined. He often works with upcycled or reclaimed materials. But one example that I think really highlights his work very well is a sculpture that he made in Cambodia near the temples of Phnom Penh, where I guess every tourist that goes into those temples is given two water bottles to take into the temples every day. And they're told at their hotel, don't drink the water, only drink bottled water. So that means coming out of these sacred temples every day are about 10,000 plastic bottles. They're not refillable. They're not recyclable. And he was working with a water conservation group and really wanted to highlight this issue of plastics pollution, specifically how plastics affect our oceans. And he made this giant sculpture in a warehouse space where it was a huge, huge cloud of plastic water bottles hanging overhead, positioned at a height where you could walk beneath them and amongst them, and lit in a really cool way. So it gives you this experience of being in another world, in this plastic world, and it's all around you and it's above you. And that's an example of one day of plastic that's being consumed in that area. And so I think that that's one example of his work that I think really does a good job of talking about what he's trying to address, which is this interconnected aspect of humans with the natural world. And all of the artists on this project, when we get down to it, that's what they're about too.
Well, that all sounds really interesting. So we're going to be able to see some of these, what their work, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, so all of these artists will be here at Elsewhere Studios for the months of July and August. And so for that entire 2 months, they'll be having community forums and meetings and other ways of in their own artistic process, being able to connect with community and have a dialogue and hopefully reach out to some constituents of people maybe that have never considered themselves artistic or creative or are not familiar with Elsewhere or are really invested in their own work as growers and farmers and trying to find creative ways of getting to a aspect of the community that maybe would not choose to be in this kind of discourse and see what comes out of it. And one of the things that I've been considering a lot lately as I prepare this project is what can art do? Like, how can it affect people's perspective? How do you get people in the same room to want to talk about some of these issues? And our work is also not just out of the blue. It's coming on the shoulders of the North Fork Valley Heart and Soul Project, mm-hmm. which was 2 years of community interviews where people were talking about values and their sense of place and how to carry that out and preserve that. And as somebody, as an escapee from gentrification, one of the things that I think is really important to have the community looking at as we consider prosperity and avenues for future development is how do we make this a place where young people can continue to thrive and have work that is aligned with passions and let the values be something that people get to continue to live by mm-hmm. as this place grows and changes. So that's really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So the artists will be here July and August, and then at the end of August, the 24th, 25th, and 26th, we'll be having a symposium that's kind of a culmination of all these arts. There'll be examples of their work in multimedia presentations. There'll be opportunities for site visits at different places that have been inspirational. And there'll be film, music, speakers, including some nationally known authors. The author of Braiding Sweetgrass, Robin Wall Kimmerer, and another Boulder, Colorado guy, Woody Tesh. Mm-hmm. He'll be here talking about his writing, which is geared around investing as if farms and soil mattered, mm-hmm. and that does deeply in this community. So I feel really excited with the dynamic way that the program is coming together.
Cool. And there are some other things going on that you've been organizing, right, Carolina?
Yeah, we partnered with the local movie theater Paradise Theater here in Paonia, and we will be having a summer art film series every second Monday, June, July, and August. So our first one is June 11th, and we're going to be showing the 90s movie Basquiat, which has David Bowie as Andy Warhol.
So oh, yeah.
That's so awesome. Just see it for that.
Yeah, just see it for that. And an amazing soundtrack. And then we also have Leaning Into the Wind, which is a documentary about the environmental artist Andy Goldsworthy. And that's happening July 9th. And then August 13th, we'll have the movie Frida, which is a biopic about Frida Kahlo and Diego Rivera. And we'll also be screening Lily and Rose, which is a locally shot short film right before Frida. And that's by Cheryl Glubach. And all of the ticket sales will help our program at Elsewhere. We also have meet and greets in the beginning of the month. Usually it's the last Friday of when the artists first arrive in order to get them introduced to the community and the community can understand what they've worked on in the past and what they'll be working on during their time in Paonia. And we also have open studios last Friday as a part of the Final Friday Frolic. It's hard to say.
That's one of the harder ones, yeah.
Final Friday Frolic that's happening now, and we're actually having one this Friday, May 25th. It's a show called Southern Fixings featuring works by our May artists in residence, Chelsea Becker, Jessica Normington, Ren Klein, and Emily Cannon. We'll have very different types of works, paintings, we'll have some readings and illustrations and sculptures.
Wonderful. You've been working with some young people from Paonia Experiential Leadership Academy, mm-hmm. and these are students doing a bunch of videos and putting all kinds of cool stuff on your website. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that collaboration a little bit?
Mm-hmm. It's been great partnering with the Pala Kids and Phil and Emily. So we have three media interns right now, Sapphire, Liza, and Sophia. And when we began, we sat down and we asked them what their interests were to make sure that it was, you know, a good symbiotic relationship where we're getting something and they're getting some knowledge of things that they're interested in doing in the future. And so photojournalism was a big thing for most of them. And so they've been documenting our bi-monthly events. We have events in the beginning of the month as well as at the end. And they come and they interview members of the audience about, you know, what they like about us, where, how do they hear about the events, and just to get more of a gauge of who's coming to our events, as well as interviewing all of the new residents who come and taking headshots of them. And that all goes up on our website and has really helped us create more content. And then recently they helped create a video for the Village Building Convergence Weekend where they interviewed multiple community members who were instrumental in creating the wall and were able to create a 4-minute video from that, which was awesome. They've been great.
I feel like they've improved. Like, I was looking at some of the first things that they shot, and then I looked at something that they shot recently, and now, yeah, I would hire them to do PR.
That's kind of how we treat it, too, as if they were, you know, we were clients, and we're talking about what we need and what we're looking for, and then we kind of go back and forth between the process. Like, that's what we did for the video is we would kind of talk about edits and just treat it as if they were professionals, which they totally are. They have a caliber of work that's really awesome, and they've been a great help. And I know that they're going to be really busy during the summer, but I think we're still going to be collaborating on some things.
And one of those students will actually be following along with this Inspired project as well, which is exciting. Mm-hmm. They've been incredibly vivacious. Anytime they're at the studio, they're photobombing from all directions. They've learned how to put things in an interview format, which is great. And when I think about myself as a young student that was interested in art, I didn't really know any artists that were working. The only artist picture that I had in my mind was this idea of a starving artist or a famous artist, and there was no space in between in my mind as a student. So I love that we're having interactions with young people that are showing them artists working, artists in their process from all over the place. I think that's really invaluable.
I wanted to talk a little bit about the starving artist. There's sort of this idea that that person doesn't really exist anymore. Or if they do exist, they deserve it. because maybe they wanted to go down that artistic path at some point in their life, and they see some young person doing that. And maybe this is just me. but they wish that they could also hang out and focus on art all day. And so you're sort of... In your mind, you don't think of them as a starving artist. You think of them as a very privileged person because how are they affording to do that? And why can't I do that? You know, what do you guys think about that?
Well, I know in my family growing up, even though arts was there, it was also be sure to train yourself in something practical so you can have a job. And I think a lot of people do that with their children going through college. They'll say, sure, you like art, great, go ahead and do that, but also get your degree in business or math or whatever. And another thing that I think is really important to remember when people are talking about creatives or artists is that 80% of those people do have another job. They're not just sitting around drawing all day or... you know, thinking up dreamy things to make. There's often a lot of legwork that's going into what they're creating, and the skill building and the technique cultivation, that's not very different than a lot of other type of practitioners in whatever your field is. So I think it's one of those places where what we see out of artists is the end result, and we don't necessarily think about all the components and pieces that allow them to generate what they do and the other job that they may be doing in the background in order to sustain their work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to add to that, the amount of creative jobs that exist now is growing, and I think it's becoming one of the biggest job markets out there, you know, and it's not necessarily just traditional painting or drawing or illustrating. It's all different kinds of creative jobs, and I think people are able to you know, have an artistic life without necessarily being a starving artist, because there's a market for that. People want innovative workers in their workplace now instead of just someone to clock in, clock out. But on that, you know, being a professional artist is really difficult. I just had a friend come into town who is a professional artist as his main source of income, and he was saying people think, oh, it's so glamorous, you know, you get to travel a bunch and just create your work all day. But it's really difficult because you don't know when you're going to sell that next painting, and you don't know when you're going to get that next big chunk of change. And so I think that people have a misconception of what being a professional artist can be. It's really hard work, and you're not working 40 hours. You're working double that, you know, to make it work.
Yeah. And I also think, you know, when you walk down the street in Paonia and the influence of the creative people that are here, mm-hmm. you naturally take that for granted. You know, there are people here who Maya, for instance, who is one of the people who was instrumental in the construction of Elsewhere. If you walk down Grand Avenue, you're going to see three or four pieces of work by him, either things that he's built, buildings that he's built, or actual paintings and pieces of art. You may not understand that, of course, that took a huge amount of time, mm-hmm. and it attracts people. It helps our economy, too. Yeah, I think art, definitely. Having a lot of artists in town brings people to the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think another interesting lens to look at that through is the things that we interact with every day in our life, like the car that we like more than another car. We like that car that we like the best because of the design and artistry that's gone into it. Our feelings about Rosie the Riveter and what we see when we look at that image, that was an artist that made that image. And so I think it's not all daydreams and paints. It's also something that helps us really galvanize around certain choices that we make.
And that's mm-hmm. what is so special about the Inspired Art at Work project, is like it really shows that art can bridge those gaps and like help people have different dialogues and it not be this, because I think art can be really academic and be really intimidating to a lot of people, but it can help bring community together. And I think that's what Elsewhere and Inspired Art at Work is trying to do.
Great. And if you're just joining us, I've been speaking with Carolina Porras, who's the Artist Residency Program Manager, and Deirdre Morrison, who is an AmeriCorps Vista and the Project Manager of the Inspired Art at Work. And we can find out more by checking out the Elsewhere website, you guys?
Yes, www.elsewherestudios.org. And tickets for the Inspired Project will go on sale June 1.